I don't know, when you get older, maybe you start looking at things differently. But you know, I just like in this situation right here, why is it that God's people, they wait so many times until they experience horrible troubles, and then they start crying out to God?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello, everyone. On Love Never Fails today, we continue with Pastor Bill's study from the Old Testament book of Esther. Pastor has titled today's message, For Such a Time as This. Let's listen in.
Esther, chapter 4, verse 1. There's a queen now. She's a Jewish queen. He didn't know that she was Jewish. And then, of course, to kill all of the Jews there in the 127 provinces that he governed. So the letters were sent out to all of those provinces, remember, to kill, to destroy, to annihilate both young, old, women, children, everyone, and do it in one single day. And after it was over, once you had that one single day, that special day, just to kill all of the Jews, the plunder from them came to the people who destroyed them. What a terrible thing. So after the king's decree, you remember how we left off, the king and Haman, they sat down to have a drink together. They were toasting the death of an entire people, if you will. But what the providence of God, which is so prevalent here in Esther, there's a queen now. She's a Jewish queen. And God had opened a door for her, and there she comes, and she's brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. But the fact is, Esther had no idea at all that she was the person. Listen, the king is not in control. The King of Kings is in control. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 21:1 that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it any way he wishes. God is always in control. When everything else seems out of control, never forget that God sees, he knows, he cares, and everything is working out perfectly. Amen? Now, tonight, let's begin in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, when Mordecai learned that all that had happened, he tore his clothes, that terrible grief, and he put on sackcloth and ashes. That's like a person who is mourning for the dead, if you will. And he went out into the middle of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter voice. So he goes out publicly, and no one, remember, in the city knew, as far as we know, that Mordecai was a Jew except for the king's servants. Remember, I named them last week. I think it was Crummy and Dummy. They were the only two that knew who he was or that he was a Jew. So Mordecai now has learned that the king's decree, which could not be changed, all because of the pride of one wicked, evil person, and that, of course, is Haman. Can you imagine wanting an entire people exterminated like he did, and do it in one day? And so, I wonder if Mordecai had never told the king's servants, those two guys that we met last week, that he was a Jew, do you think maybe this would not have happened? Of course, we're not told, and that's subjective, of course, but it is just a thought. And he went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. Now, that was a Persian law. You couldn't do so. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews. And look what they were doing. They were fasting. They were weeping, wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, they knew, man, that their death now was unavoidable. They were going to die. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. And then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. See, he couldn't come into the palace unless he was dressed properly. But he said, no, I don't want any of that. So I know that Esther doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know the decree that's happened. She probably thinks her adopted dad, is out of his entire mind, because here he is, he's going all over the city, his clothes are all torn up, he's sackcloth and ashes, he's crying aloud and so forth. She doesn't know. So what she does is she sends her servant, and she says, I want some answers. So Esther then sent Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her. And she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. So Hatcha went out to Mordecai into the city square that was in the front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication for him and plead before him for her people. So Mordecai just did something to the eunuch that was serving Esther. He just revealed to him her true identity, that she was a Jew. Now, he says here in verse 9, so Hatcha returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai, and Esther spoke to Hatcha and gave him a command for Mordecai. And all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces, they know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king, who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. And yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. In other words, Mordecai, if I go in, you're going to have a dead queen on your hands because I haven't seen the king in 30 days. And so they told Mordecai Esther's words. Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief, deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you, your father's house, will perish." Now here it is. "And yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" What an incredible question. You know, God is never mentioned at all here in the book of Esther, as we know. But did you notice what Mordecai said? He said, "Esther, if you're going to keep quiet, I want you to know something. You're going to probably die. I'm going to die. But here's the deal." He says, "Relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place." The question we have to ask, what other place was he talking about? Well, there can only be one other person who would ever come to the aid of the Jewish people. Amen? And we know that was going to be God Almighty, which meant that Mordecai knew of the covenant that God had made with Abraham. And he also knew that God would never, because he promised, never allow the nation of Israel to be, that remnant, that is, to be completely destroyed. And so in verse 15, then Esther told him to reply to Mordecai. He says, "Go gather all the Jews who are present at Shushan." She says, "Fast for me, don't eat, drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I, we're going to fast as well. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I die or if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. You know, we know that prayer, the word prayer, is not mentioned anywhere in the book of Esther. You know, but however, it has to be assumed, doesn't it? What good is fasting if you're not praying? You're just starving. Amen? No, fasting is hunger for God. But anywhere you find fasting, you always find prayer. Prayer and fasting. And the Jews, they remember, if you study the Old Covenant, to fast was of their own volition. It was voluntary. There was only one day out of the entire year that they were to fast, and that would be the Day of Atonement. So Esther is calling for everyone, even her own palace people, the ladies there, everyone is to be fasting. You know, loved one, I tell you, what is true then should be true today, is it? Why is it today? You know, and I really look at the world, and maybe I shouldn't look at the world. I don't know, when you get older, maybe you start looking at things differently. But you know, I just like in this situation right here, why is it that God's people, they wait so many times until they experience horrible troubles, and then they start crying out to God? Man, listen, we need to be in communication with God every day, amen? We need to go to the throne of grace every day. You know, we're living in a time, it doesn't take a prophet to proclaim this, we live in a generation and a nation that is absolutely blind. And there is none that are, whoever said it, there's none so blind that those who will not see. Boy, and I look around and I say, oh Lord, I know that we are in deep trouble in this nation, and if there's ever been a time for us to be practicing James 5, what, 16? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen? It says, pray ye one for another that you might be healed. How we need to be reaching out in prayer. You know, listen, let me tell you the condition right now, then or now, the same thing. You remember in the book of Genesis, whenever the devil was talking to Adam and Eve there, and you know, he told Eve, he says, oh, Eve, you know, go ahead and eat. Eat of the fruit. For the day that you eat of it, you will be as God. Your eyes will be open, knowing good and evil. Well, the word knowing there means to define what is good and define what is not good or what is bad. Do you know that that's where we are right now? You'll be as gods. That's the world we live in. The world is like you think you're a god. Do you follow me? It's not vertical any longer. In other words, where we look up to the Lord. No, this world right now, especially this nation, the lost, are defining what good is and what is evil. They're telling the world this is popular and this is not popular. I've never seen a time like it is today. If there's ever been a moment when we should all of us humbly be praying and seeking God with all of our hearts, having that time at the altar, at our home, that early morning prayer, loved one, it's right now. And it shouldn't be, I'm sad about it. Listen, it should be joyful. We know what's going to happen. We read the last book of the Bible, amen? We win. We're not going to lose. But loved one, we need to know these things. Esther said, you know what? Okay, Mordecai, I love you, man. You've raised me. You've done all this thing for me. But if I perish, I perish. You know, we say things like that ourselves. And I would like to add and say, oh, no, Esther, you're not going to perish. Haman is going to perish, though. Amen. But she didn't know that. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 7:14, behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. Boy, if that's ever been a word, that's a word for Haman. Amen? Now look at chapter 5, verse 1. And now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes, and she stood in the inner court of the king's palace across the king's house. Now that means if she was standing there, that means she's now breaking the law because she wasn't the inner, okay? And while the king sat on the royal throne in the royal house facing the entrance of the house. So here comes Esther, man. She's put on her queenly outfit and she's already beautiful and I'm sure she's a knockout. And so it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court. It says that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. And then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her, what do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? And it shall be given up to you, up to half the kingdom. Now, he really didn't mean half the kingdom. That was just a gesture back then, meaning whatever you need, I will be generous to you. That's what he's basically saying. So Esther answered and said, well, if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I prepared for him. Don't you like Queen Esther? Here she is. She's preparing them a banquet. You know, if you are a study of Hebrew, okay, on this verse, if there's anywhere in the chapters of Esther where the word God is found, it's right here. You know, you see the phrase there where it says, let the king, these five words, let the king come today. If you look that word up in the Hebrew, because of course this is written in Hebrew, the Old Covenant here, the initial letters of each word spell the divine name of God, Yahweh. In other words, the YHWH, and it's all in capitals there. So if there's anywhere the word of God is mentioned, it's mentioned, if you will, there. Now, I don't know why some of the manuscripts, the ancient manuscripts, they have some of the letters are all where you know that's what they're talking about. Others, they don't do that. So I don't know if he was trying to, whoever wrote, whoever the author is, we know it's God, but we don't know who penned it. I don't know if he was trying to say God is really behind the scenes or God is involved. I don't know, but I do know this. I don't need to know that. I don't need any capital letters to spell out the name of God. I know that God's on every page, don't you? I know that he's working behind the scenes because Israel is his people and the church is his people. Amen? So he's in control. And then the king said in verse 5, bring Haman quickly that he may do so as Esther has said. So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And at the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, well, what is your petition? And it shall be granted you. And what is your request? Up to half the kingdom, it'll be done. And Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this. If I found favor in your sight, the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I will prepare for them. And what? Tomorrow I will do as the king has said. You know, you can see God all over this. If you studied out the historical kings in those days, they didn't wait for anything. Do you understand? They weren't told to wait. They weren't saying, if you have to talk to me right now and let's get it over with. That we know that God is in control. But here's the deal. Why did she wait? Why didn't she just go ahead? Haman was right there. Let's spill the beans. Let's get all this, everything out. And that's because, you know, there's always a right place and the right timing. And God is the one who determines that. Amen? God wanted her to wait. It wasn't the right time, and it wasn't the right place to do that. He was going to wait till the king couldn't sleep one night. Look at the next verse. So Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart. In other words, he was full of wine. They had a great banquet and everything. But when Haman saw Mordecai at the king's gate and that he did not stand or tremble, didn't fear before him, didn't bow before him, it says that Haman was filled with indignation. That word in Hebrew means a burning, fiery rage, a venom or a poison, and it was against Mordecai. So Haman, he went out, man, he was filled with joy and pride. He was on the top of the world. You know, he'd been at the banquet, and he's like the super Uno guy, right? And then his heart was so glad, but it was all based on worldly honor. Do you know how quickly that can be taken away from you? In other words, that can change in just an instant. It can just evaporate right before your very eyes. And so Haman, he didn't realize that this was going to be the last day of his life. You know, it's easy to read into this that God hated Haman. You don't believe that, do you? God didn't hate Haman. God hates no man. Amen? Do you think that God wanted Haman saved? Of course he did. You know, the Bible teaches in Ezekiel, I think it's 33:11, where God says, he says, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked except that the wicked should turn and live. God wants that for every person. But you know what? Haman was wicked, and he wanted to kill all of God's people. So nevertheless, Haman restrained himself. He went home, and he sent and he called. Now watch this. He called his friends and his wife. Then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, and everything which the king had promoted him. In other words, all about himself, and how he had advanced him above the officials and the servants of the king. And moreover, Haman said, besides, you're not going to believe this, but Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared. And tomorrow, I am again invited by her along with the king. It's kind of sickening, isn't it? In other words, everything is about him. It's all about self. You know, Jesus said in Luke 6:26, he said, woe to you when all men speak well of you. You know, every believer, every unbeliever, we all have to beware of pride, don't we? You know, William Barclay said this. He said, pride is the ground in which all the other sins grow and the parent from which all other sins come. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Proverbs 19:23, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. And look at verse 13. Look at his reaction now to all the great things that were happening to him. Yet all of this avails me nothing. Or as the NIV says, I have no satisfaction from what he just told them. As long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Can you imagine a person who has everything? What more could this guy want? I mean, he had it all. He's the second to the king. He's the mightiest person in all of the kingdom. He has the king's signet ring, which means the king's authority. And, you know, he's having dinner with the queen, and he says, but all this means nothing to me. I can't enjoy any of it because of Mordecai the Jew. Now watch verse 14. And then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows be made. Literally, that's not a gallows, loved one. That's they didn't hang them back then. That was an impaling stick, if you will, okay? And so he said, make an impaling stick and make it 50 cubits high. That's about 75 feet high. And in the morning, suggest to the king, your drinking buddy, I'm adding to scripture, that Mordecai will be hanged on it. And then, look at these words, and then go merrily with the king to the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows made. In one command, just one command, they went out there and the gallows were under construction. But you know what? God has a plan for Haman, amen? God watches over his children. God watches over you tonight. You know, the enemy is always planning to overthrow you, to tempt you, to trip you up, to cause harm. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Do you think that God says, oh, I didn't know he was going to do that? He knows everything that's happening. He loves you. He's watching over you this very minute. He's watching over you when you leave tonight. He who never sleeps or slumbers, when you close your eyes, listen, he's right there. That's why we can lay our head down and have a sweet sleep. Amen? Now, chapter 6, watch this now. And that night, the king could not sleep. So one was commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. I want you to think about something for a minute. I mean, you're the mightiest king in all the earth at that time. I mean, if you can't sleep, you could say, well, bring in some dancers. Bring in some musicians. Bring in all kinds of food. Do you understand what I'm getting at? But he didn't say that. Out of all the things he could have said, he said, bring me the book. I mean, that just blows me away. I'm sorry. You see, now we know the reason why Queen Esther here didn't tell the king previously. You know, he says, I can't sleep. So I need a Tylenol PM or something, you know what I mean? So he says, read me this book. Evidently, they'd read from all the events of the Persian history, the things that he had accomplished and the things that had happened, and I guess that put him to sleep. I don't really know. But anyway, you may be saying, Bill, do you really think that God directed the king, that God was in control here, and that the king had a book really read to him? You know, he said, bring the book. You know, you would be surprised, and I know this has happened to you as well, that you know, have you know that when the Holy Spirit, say, speaks to you and he says, you need to read that book? Have that happened to you? I cannot tell you how many times in my life the Lord moved upon my heart, you need to buy that book or in the bookstore. I remember, loved one, 40 years ago, Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but back then, Christian bookstores, they didn't have Christian bookstores. Do you understand? I mean, it was rare if you could even find a Christian bookstore, and especially in Las Vegas, hello. And there was a little tiny bookstore. I mean, it couldn't have been as large as the chapel lobby. And I'll never forget, I walked in there, and I looked at this book, and it was $27.95. It's about this thick. Becky was with me, and as the Lord is my witness, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you need to buy that book. And I'm going, Lord, it's $27.95. Who would spend that kind of money on a book? You know what I mean? I bought that book, and that book covered all 66 books of the Bible. And you would go through, and what it was, it would teach you the Word of God. So you had, for example, you had to start out in Genesis, and at one sitting, this is true now, you can ask my wife, she's back there probably listening right now, said, that's right. You had to read through Genesis 3 times, one sitting. Do you hear me? One sitting. And then you would take all these tests. Do you know that's how, and I had no idea at the time. I still have it today. It's in my office this very minute, and all my test questions are still there written in. I had no idea that as I went through that entire book, it was by J. Sidlow Baxter, okay? Explore the book. I had no idea that that was the beginning on the way that God started preparing me for the ministry, but I had no idea.
Well, we're out of time for today and for this week, but please tune in on Monday to hear the remainder of today's message. Amen. My name is Brian Whitaker, and for Pastor Bill, we want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.